Welcome to the Kick Pod, your weekly D&M on the stuff that matters. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to our second episode in person for the year. Yes. Or maybe not for the year. We've done a few for a very long time.
For a very long time, which we really should have been doing for quite a long time. But how are you, Lizzie?
Wait, we should what?
We should have been doing it for like a few weeks. Like maybe, since lockdown stopped.
We haven't been out of lockdown for that long. But it is the last episode of the season.
Yeah.
And we're finishing with a bang.
Are we?
Our guest is very...
crappy.
Yes, very bad guest. She keeps asking to come back. This is the second time she's come back in the recent weeks, but she's also very popular. Anyway, we can reveal who that is later.
Okay.
Or by the title, which you've already seen. So, I'm going to ask you how you are later, so don't spoil it.
All right.
For our fabulous listeners. What is your special share?
Okay, my special share this week is called, it's a movie on Disney Plus. It's a new movie on Disney Plus.
You love a subscription service.
I do love streaming. A subscription
service. Like, how many have you got?
All of them. Not the sport one, actually.
No,
because
okay.
Very, very regretfully and stupidly, we are still signed up to Foxtel. Don't ask why.
What if Foxtel...
I know.
It's mean to Foxtel.
No, but we have Binge.
Oh, you don't need it.
We have Binge, and then we have Netflix, every other streaming
you have
thing.
Stan,
so,
you have,
like, okay. Why so are we paying $80 a month for Foxtel? No one knows.
Do you want me to handle that for you?
I just need to... I spoke to Josh about
it. Are you locked in, or it's just one of those things that every week it comes out of your account and you're... week, a month. And you're like, oh, my God, I have to cancel that.
Yeah.
And then...
I think it's because Josh grew up with Foxtel, and I didn't. And so I've kind of used to not have it my whole life. But when we moved out together, it was one of the things that we decided to get years ago and really enjoyed it. But that was before all the streaming services came around. And then we started to sign up to all the streaming services.
Yes.
And really for a while, he was just holding on to it because of the sports channels and everything else he likes to watch like that. But I've now discovered that there
is KO.
Yeah.
You can get KO.
Yes. Which is I think $12, not $80. So
okay. Very good. Well, I remember
it's on the
growing
to-do list.
Foxtel was like... what the fancy family.
I know, right?
I was like, oh my God, imagine if we got Foxtel. And then actually when my parents separated, my dad got it. And I think it was so, like, we'd want to go to dad's house more.
It's
we
so
never
true.
Had it at mum's house. But we just had like the, you know, you could have like a basic version where you couldn't really click on many things.
Yeah.
But like you still got to go through the large
guide. I think
it
had like a small selection of movies.
Yes.
And like maybe five of the channels or something.
Yes. No, there was no, you had to pay for the movie.
Oh, did you?
You could only watch a movie if it was on a channel and there was more channels.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
They would do like, they might like pick an actor and then they'd just like put all of the Jennifer Aniston movies in a row on the one day and you just had to watch them at the time they started. I remember
exactly.
It's the way TV should be, I feel. I'm a big, big fan of like watching.
I can't. So we went to Chadston on Friday night. I just have to share this. And we walked around to every shop and Steph like had, you just had some feedback for every shop we went into. And you were just telling me and I was like, do you want me to call up Maya and tell them that you love the fact that their towels are folded like this? So you think this would be a great, it was just so sweet because you were walking around and you were like, this would be a great idea for like, I wish they had this in glass instead of plastic. And I was like, this I was laughing because every shop you did it, and I was like, I just love this.
I think I just miss shopping.
Yeah, maybe that's why. I think that's why we were quite brave to go on Friday night.
We really were.
But I mean, we had a great time.
It was fun. It was fun. Anyway, the show. What a special show.
How did that happen?
Disney Plus.
Okay.
So it's a new Disney movie.
Hang on, it's not on Foxtel?
I don't know if it's anywhere else, but I watched it on Disney Plus. It's G-rated, so like anyone can enjoy it. And it's called Godmothered. And I thought it was so easy to watch and just really funny. I watched it with my mum because she came and stayed with me a bit this week to do things like the Christmas tree and everything. And we watched this movie together. And it's got Isla Fisher, the Aussie actress.
Yeah. She got orange hair.
Yeah. Really funny.
Red hair? Is that how you say
it? Red hair, probably.
Sure.
And Gillian Bell, which might not be a familiar name to you, but she's in a lot of, like, comedy
that
movies.
That is not a familiar name to
me. No, but she's one of the main characters.
Okay.
And it's just a really easy, lighthearted you know, put it on while you're cooking kind of movie to love watch. It. Or if you have kids around, like, to watch it with them.
You know what I love as well? You know how you said it's G-rated? Mm. So I honestly, if I say a movie's G-rated, I'm like, I'm not watching it. Because yeah. I am at M15 plus land now.
Are you? Know?
Because I don't know why in my head I associate the rating with boring. So under M, I'm like, it's boring because it's for kids. Fair. But I watched...
This is not I'm my corrected. Special PG, PG, PG.
Well, I actually watched a G movie.
Oh, did you?
On the weekend. Yeah. Daddy Daycare. Oh, this is not my special share. We had it on DVD. And it's one of those things, we had like 10 DVDs and I'm literally watching it. I'm like, I know every line to this.
Yeah.
And it made me so happy. Yeah. And it's G-rated.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was because like it's a nostalgic thing for me, but loved it.
Yeah.
But that's not my special share.
Okay. What's your special share? Okay.
So I've just changed it sporadically. I told you it was going to be something, but it's something else.
Okay.
So my special share is... Our Kick Rocky Road.
Okay, yeah.
Which we've probably shared on here before.
A classic.
But I made it the other week. I hadn't made it for a long time. You know with recipes, you go through stages where you just like...
Getting habits.
Choc chip cookies. Yeah. There was a stage I made our Keep It Clean and Choc chip cookies every week for 4 months.
That was me for Rocky Road.
And I couldn't think of any other recipes to make. You know, there's over 500 in the app, but I just always went to the same one. And I hadn't made Rocky Road for so long and I made it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so good. Having it every night.
Yeah.
Because it's in... You keep it in the freezer. It's quite... rich, so you don't have
you don't
it's
not feel like eating too
a
much
block
of
Cadbury where you're just like, oh, where did that go? You just
where did that go? Wonder.
It's really yummy, and I'm thinking of Christmasifying it.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
because I'm so Christmassy this year. Not. I'm going to. It is a word.
Christmasifying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it's in an I don't know. It might be in a dictionary. It's definitely not a word. And I'm going to try it with some cinnamon and some more Christmas
flavors and
crunchies. Like fruits. You can add whatever you like.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea. Last year for Christmas, you know those ice trays that are made of rubber?
Yes.
I did the Rocky Road just with like a little less of the ingredients. So there was more chocolate, less crunch, and put them in those molds and they were like Christmas shaped.
Gorgeous.
And so they were like chocolates, perfect sized chocolates with the Rocky Road recipe. So
oh my goodness, I might do that. Mm, I'm gonna take that and I'm gonna try and add some. Do you think it would taste good with cinnamon?
Maybe.
Uh-huh, well, I'm gonna
chocolate
try.
Chocolate tastes good with cinnamon.
I'll let you know. This is a weird special share because I haven't actually tried it. But the OG recipe is good. Anyway, now for so last week for when you interviewed me.
Yeah.
We recorded the intro as we do. The way we record is giving away all our secrets. Mm. We record the ad and the intro, and then we record with the guest whenever the guest is available.
Yeah.
But last week, the guest was in front of you.
Yeah.
It was me.
It was you.
And we stopped.
Well, I had a man on my roof. Still we had a trainee there.
We had two separate files, so this time we're going to go, because we also said welcome twice.
Yeah.
Even though we were in the same room, it was in within same 5 day. Minutes.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
flowing right into
let's go straight into it. That was still a bad flow. So, I want to start with the question. Also, very happy to have you back in the guest
seat.
I enjoy asking you questions.
Thank you.
And thank you to everyone who sent their questions in.
Yes.
They were fantastic.
Mm.
So, first one,
how
are you?
Oh, this is why I missed it earlier.
Yes.
But now I don't know how you are.
Doesn't matter. I spoke enough last week. I am happy to be a mute this week.
No, I'm really good. I think for me, this time of year, whilst always somehow hectic, I think when you're winding up like the work year and everything, no matter what you do, just everything falls into a short amount of time and then people want to catch up with you before they go on holiday and it's just like
you're very popular.
It's a lot. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's like it's a time of year where even outside of work, like work's always a lot because you're finishing stuff up, but outside of work there's also a lot on, so it's like lots happening. But it's also one of my favorite times of the year. So I mean Christmas for me, Christmas time in general is one of my favorite times of the year. I get to see my family and I love giving presents to people and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just getting really excited. I feel like as soon as December 1st always hits, I just start getting in a really good mood. And I'm like also 20 weeks pregnant and everyone said I would get my energy back and I'd feel so much better around this time. And I do. I feel really good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I'm
and happy. You look good.
Oh, thanks.
You look... See, if you look at Steph and I right now, we are... And this podcast isn't about me. Sorry. interrupting. We look like I feel like how we feel about Christmas this year. So I have had to take myself away from it a little bit, too overwhelmed. I'm also not like, I like Christmas, but I'm not as, I'm not as Christmassy as you are. So I'm wearing a white t-shirt and jeans. You look fantastic and fabulous. It is a Thursday morning and you've come to my house in beautiful flares with orange pattern, a lovely black silk shirt, a ribbon in your hair.
Can I tell you why, though?
A necklace. You just look so put together and festive and happy. And
Oh, that's nice.
Well, that's how nice. You are as well.
But I would be wearing... I wanted to wear jeans today, but they are getting very uncomfortable. So hence the flares. But and then with these flares...
They're amazing.
Like you either dress them down with a big hoodie...
Yes.
...or you have to wear a shirt to make it look nice. There's no in-between.
I don't know that because I'm not stylish. But you could have just put on some sweatpants. I sound so American. But
sweatpants.
You've gone with the flares.
We've got some errands and stuff today, though. So, like, you know, I thought I'm leaving the house. Sure. I've been living in sweatpants all year.
Well, you look great.
Thank you.
Anyway. Say it again. You look great. So now let's get serious. No, okay. This is actually a serious question. So I don't want to joke about the seriousness of the question. But we have been through quite a bit this year outside of the pandemic with work and things and just everything.
Yes.
How have you been going with that?
Yes.
And with your mental health, can we focus on that? How have you found it this year and how have you managed?
On the mental health side of things, totally overwhelming. I think it was like just with everything going on, it was actually quite funny when the pandemic first hit and we first went into lockdown. I started off really positive and I was like, this is a really great opportunity to slow down a little bit. And I don't know, I just kind of really wanted to appreciate that time because we are still go, go, go in so many other ways, but physically we were so go, 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 whether it was like interstate every second week or traveling a lot or just, you know, an event there or a meeting over there and always traveling and always sitting in traffic and always rushing to be somewhere and always 5 minutes late. That was my worst habit last year. And so I just kind of thought, you know, if we're going to be locked up, it sounds so dramatic, but it actually was like that, you know, make the most of it and just kind of wind down a little bit. As much as there was still like lots of work to do, you could at least like take your time, I suppose, and figure out what was going to work for you. And for me, I suppose it started off really positively because I enjoyed that time for the first 2 weeks. And I'm also, whilst I absolutely love going to things like music festivals and seeing people, I do absolutely love all that sort of stuff. I'm not one of those people that like has to do it every weekend you know, fuel my joy. Like for me, recharging is like having a bath and watching a Disney movie or something, or like seeing a friend. So I think I wasn't that upset about not being able to go and do all those things, or I actually didn't mind not traveling and everything, which I know I'm very fortunate to have said because a lot of people don't ever get to travel. So I think I just was really excited to kind of stay in every weekend and watch as many movies as I want and like take up a new show or whatever. And then it just started to get old real fast. I think like it just hit this period where I was really motivated. I was working out every day. You know, we just kind of got all this equipment to work out at home and all this sort of stuff. And I was feeling really motivated. And then all of a sudden it all became too repetitive and too old. And I started to miss my friends and all the other stuff. And it was a lot.
The weekends were the same.
Yeah, the weekends were no different to the weekdays, really. Because we, like, obviously love what we do and we run a business. Like, stuff pops up on the weekend, obviously, that you've got to get done. And so as much as I really did try to stick to, you know, Monday to Friday was, like, when I was going to get the most work done, and then on the weekends, chill, it just kind of all blended into one at one point.
You're staring at a screen. It's like you spend your whole week staring at a screen, and then you go to a bigger screen, which might be the TV, but it's still, like, you're just doing the same thing.
So I think it just, I think you touched on this in our last podcast about having so much extra time to kind of sit in your own thoughts. And for me, like, one thing that I struggle with mentally, and I've opened up about it in the podcast before, but, like, managing my stress levels and then where from there, how that affects my mood and my emotions and, I suppose, my reactions as well, is something that I've really struggled with. And I actually this year went and saw a psychologist about it and felt really better after having two sessions just talking to a complete stranger about it. But yeah, I just kind of realized that I was putting so much pressure on myself to not like be someone that I wasn't, not that, but I think I was putting myself on this like pedestal. And I think, you know, back in the day I had this like pedestal of body image and like I just wanted to look perfect and like that's why I had so many issues with my body image and my relationship with food and exercise. And it's like I got over that, but now I have this like different pressure on myself where like I've got to be, you know, I mean, I'm surrounded by people like people that I love the most is people like, you know, yourself, Josh, and my mom, and you're all very caring, positive, like beautiful, happy people. And I'm not to say like you, all three of you have opened up to me about like not always feeling that way. Like it's not, but from the outside, it's like, oh, I always envy, you know, even if you're kind of having a tough day or whatever, being able to be really positive for someone else. And I always admired that. And I think I put so much pressure on myself to kind of be that like super positive person all the time or like super happy person all the time. So when I'd have like an argument with Josh or like I'd snap at him because he tickled me at the wrong point of the day. Like, you know what I mean? Like the smallest things, and I'd be so angry and like react so badly. I would then just put myself down so much for it. And I just feel so guilty and feel so bad. And just kind of being able to sit with the fact that like what we kind of see as negative emotions, like anger or frustration or, you know, being upset about things, they're not negative. They're just emotions. Like they're just feelings. Like we have all the feelings. That's why they all exist. You can't always feel happy. You can't always feel positive and all that stuff. And I think once I kind of really thought about that and accepted that, and started to be more okay with the fact that, yeah, there's quite a lot of times that I'm not in the best mood, I was able to kind of control my reactions to things a little bit more. Like there's absolutely no Josh is probably going to listen to this and be like, really? But there's still times when
but that's I snap everyone. And
yeah. Like,
and your partner always, no unfortunately. Because yeah. I mean, luckily for us, we think they'll still love us. Yeah. So you know, they're probably the person you can push the most.
Unfortunately, yes. And we take for granted sometimes. Yes. And yeah, so there's no doubt about it. I'm not saying that I've like worked it
and
out.
You're not in it. When you say you get angry, you're not like, it's not like, obviously domestic violence and everything is a very, very serious issue. That's not what we're talking about.
No, it's literally
like you might be like, why did you not put the cup in the dishwasher? When like, it's not a big deal or whatever. Little things like that.
Yeah. Or like he'll literally come and try and hug me, but I'm like, my mind is like so focused on something else and I might be stressed and like in a bad mood from something. And then so I get upset with him for doing that, which is such a positive, beautiful gesture. So like little things like that, but I've been able to manage it a lot more by kind of focusing on that this year. But at the same time, being in the pandemic and having like other stresses and everything, it's like, it's also been a really tough year, I think, for anyone that struggles with their mental health in like any way. So I feel like now I'm coming out of the better end.
I feel like you're handling stress at the moment extremely well.
There's a lot on.
Yeah, and I'm not. You are.
I think I'm forcing myself to, because I think we had, I mean, the last couple of months have been a lot, but there's been a lot of things happening, and there was a period where I certainly wasn't handling it and I was like not okay. And I think when I fell pregnant and I was having those moments, you know, all I've read or heard or been advised on is like, you know, you can take whatever advice you want when it comes to what foods you avoid or, you know, whether or not you drink or anything like that. But stress is like a pretty big one that they say you really need to try and stress less because it's really not good. I mean, it's not good for anyone.
Yes.
But it's also really not good for the baby. And I've just been really trying to focus on that. I suppose now it's like I'm not only trying to look after my own mental health, but like I've got someone else to worry about now.
Yeah, of course.
And so I think I was just, when all that was happening, I was just like, okay, I really need to just work out how I can move forward. And I think the way I manage it now is I just kind of, this is kind of what you touched on when you were talking about your anxiety and stuff like that. You think of the worst possible thing that can happen in the situation. It's not going to be the end of the world in most situations, not all. So I think once I think about it like that, and I think about, in, you know, our intentions or all these sort of things, I'm able to kind of go roundabout and think there's really worse things in the world, and then I just stress less about it. I don't know how, but I've somehow been able to do that. So, yeah.
Well, that is very helpful advice.
That's how I have been this year.
Well, thank you for being honest with us. I think, yeah, it's been just difficult for everyone, but I think it's important. And I love what you said about not just because an emotion is not positive, it does not mean it is negative. Yeah. And we shouldn't really, even me saying it's positive, we shouldn't really think of emotions feelings. As positive. Yeah. Yeah, they're just feelings. And that's amazing. And on that, taking that all into consideration, what has been your biggest learning about yourself this year?
Definitely that I can manage my stress levels and workload, and I feel like, I feel like I'm a better worker when I slow things down a little bit. So not the actual thing itself.
No, you just know, life. Like, yes, if you're trying to do 1,000 things in one day, it's very hard to do them. Yeah.
So like and it's funny because we've had this conversation so many times, obviously, Laws, we were going to pretend that this is the first time we've had this conversation, but even last week in the podcast, again, you mentioned that, you know, you're the kind of person, you become more organized when you've got more on and you get really motivated and you get in a role. And there's moments that I'm like that, but what I've kind of noticed, and particularly COVID kind of forced me into trying this, as I touched on earlier, slowing things down. And I've noticed that that really works for me. Like, whether it's a slower morning or actually switching off at night or, taking a break to do something, or just saying no to events and like just having more time to do nothing.
Yes.
And like have time to just have a bath and a night, you know, those little things. Making more time for nothing has made my work period a lot more productive. So that's probably been my biggest kind of self-discovery that I'm going to 100% continue, I think. I mean, obviously I'll have a new responsibility next year. So.
Maybe less time for me. You're like, mate, you're not getting me time in 25 years.
I know. But like, obviously that'll be...
But just time for you and the baby, for example.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And I think with me, even from last week, what I was saying, I am not... When I say that, I'm not superwoman in that I can do 1,000 things and not burn out.
No.
Because that is not what I was saying. I like to be busy during the day, like the work day.
Yeah.
But then again, if we have work things on every night for a week...
Yeah.
I can't handle that either. Yeah. And then I find that when I'm really busy in the week, the weekend, I have to do nothing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I can't. And even nothing, like no work, but also no heavy socializing.
What is
that? No, isn't like not having a gazillion things, driving from here to here to here. You just have to chill, because otherwise you can't handle it. And it's funny, I never knew that about you. So we're so different in that, like festivals, for example, you know me, it's too much. It's just a lot for me. Like, there's people everywhere and I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's overwhelming. It sometimes stresses me out. But you, like, I was like, oh my God, you're so good, Steph. I can go from working to this, to this, to this. But it's funny that maybe we're a little bit more similar than I thought. Because I was like, oh, I'm so uncool. Like, why don't I like these things?
No.
Like, why do they stress me out?
Nah. It's, I mean, I do love
But every
festivals.
Now and then, it's so much fun.
Yeah. I do love festivals. But as I said, I'm not someone that, even prior to pregnancy, you know, had to have a drink every weekend and go out to a bar or go out and, you know, it just, that's not me. I love it when I do it, but
in moderation.
Funny. In moderation, yes.
So I love this question that came up.
Okay.
It was your favorite and your least favorite thing about work. So this is quite a quick fire question in between here.
Okay, so my favorite thing about what we do is our community and being able to, I suppose, do something positive for people who, I just love that what we do helps people. I think that's 100% my favorite thing. So anytime we can actually connect with them, whether it's virtually or in person, that's my favorite part about what we do. And then my least favorite thing, it was really hard. You sent me through this question and I was like, there's actually not, which is great. I don't know why I'm sounding so surprised, but there's not a lot that I don't like. There's a lot of things that challenge me, and there's a lot of things that, you know, possibly if I'm not in the right headspace, I don't like at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a lot I don't like about our job. And I think one thing that I used to be quite scared of, or I suppose you could say that I didn't like it, and it was only because I hadn't really grown much confidence, was the responsibility, I think, mm-hmm. of like running a team and, mm-hmm. and, you know, managing everyone and then, you know, being across different parts of the business that aren't necessarily, that I'm not really skilled at. I would like put a lot of pressure on myself in the past. And so those kind of things really scared me. And I hated feeling that way. And I hated, but then I also love the responsibility. So there's not like something I don't like about what mm-hmm. we do. That's like just a hard no. Do you know yes. what I mean? I don't know.
But there are little things. I think that's important to say. And that's okay.
Any job.
Exactly. It's like everyone's dream job or whatever.
I fully, like when I was full-time modeling, I was like living my dream job, honestly. Back then, that was my dream job.
Ah, so working with me is not your dream job.
But back then, no, now it is. I'm joking. Now it is. But like back then, that was like what I'd always dreamed to do. Mm-hmm. And I did love it. And, you know, I really did love it. But staying in hotels by myself or like flying to London for 2 days and then flying back home. Like there's things that you just don't like.
Also one about thing any job. That I don't know how you did it.
What?
You got changed like 100. And this, if you haven't been on a, it's hard. You might listen and be like, oh my God, this is just you ridiculous. No. Like, kind of thing. But I didn't do a lot. And when I did e-com for the day, I would feel like I'd work for 5 days in one.
Because it's exhausting.
You have to get changed 150 times. Yeah. And the actual socks, your shoes, like it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So I have to say that was one of my least favorite things back in my one job that I did.
Yeah.
But yes, I think it's important to acknowledge that even
job, in your dream job
that is that you love every single element.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's like you're never going to find it.
No.
Because it doesn't exist.
Exactly. And also every job, particularly when you're running your own business, has so many different elements.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, as I said, there's nothing I hate, but there's certainly things that I'm not skilled at.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, steer further from. And you just make sure that you've got someone who does like that.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Okay, next question.
Mm-hmm.
What was, and I'm, this is one of my favorite questions actually that came through, so thank you for sending this through. What was one day that stood out amongst 2020 for you out of the whole year and why?
So it's kind of, it is within 24 hours, but it's across 2 days.
Okay, that's really fun. That's really going to be
cool.
Fun.
So it was the 24 hours between when we launched the Kick app and mm-hmm. I found out that I was pregnant. So that was all within 24 hours.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that day that we launched, we had a Zoom celebration with the team.
Yes.
We had a deli meat and cheese platter. We had champagne. I had a hot bath.
Oh, my God.
And then the next morning, I went to the doctors and got blood results back and got tested because I took a test that night that was came back positive.
So the night of the launch is when you took the test?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Went to the doctors the next day to confirm. And yeah, she was like, yeah, maybe so just people avoid like deli meat, cheeses, alcohol, hot baths and jacuzzis. And I was like, yeah, cool. That's like
you don't have a jacuzzi.
I know. But yeah, so that kind of 24 hours, like and it kind of makes sense. I was so emotional on the day of launch. Like mm-hmm. I thought it was just because of, and it probably was a lot to do with this, but just because of how much energy and emotion and hard work from the whole entire team went into that relaunch. Yes. It was so exciting to get
out. I remember
out.
In the morning you did a story, you were crying. Out. And I was like, why aren't I crying? Should I be crying? Do I not care enough? You know?
But now it's like,
but
maybe
also,
emotions.
You really care, but also, yeah.
Maybe emotions were
sometimes
heightened.
Tears just don't come when they should, but you know.
So yeah, that 24 hours was...
Oh my God, I completely didn't connect that in my head.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Because when you started saying the day we launched Kick, I was like, okay, that's nice. But like, I hope it's when you found out you're pregnant. But if it's not, it's also fine. But there you go.
It was just a very overwhelming 24 hours, but I loved it.
Yeah. That's a very good answer.
Yeah.
It's literally the best 24 hours ever. So, 2020,
mm-hmm.
your brand.
As in Circle Smith?
Yeah, your brand, like your personal brand, your social media.
Okay.
There was a question about this and I wanted to include it because I think it's quite an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
How has your brand and social media evolved this year in 2020? Because I do think it has, like for everyone, it's been the biggest shift ever in such a short period of time on what you feel like you're posting and things like that.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, I suppose in 2020 in particular, I mean, who I am online is no different. I feel like I've always really tried to be exactly who I am on social media. I want people to meet me in person and them not to be surprised.
Yes, and that hasn't changed. You've always been
like that. So that didn't change this year, which meant that, you know, through the ups and downs, I was quite open about it. But as you said, there was, I suppose, this, I was held back a little bit posting because you just, I became so unmotivated to post. Mm. Like, there was only so many times I could post about feeling really shitty.
Yeah, you didn't want to overdo it. And then at the same time, I feel like this year has put a lot into perspective. So it's this thing that I was going to share, like, it doesn't really matter. Exactly. Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, a lot of what I love to share as well is, I suppose, the more exciting things in my life, like, you know, traveling or mm-hmm. like seeing friends or like going out for dinner. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're in your house 24/7 with the same person every single day, mm-hmm. You're just not motivated to share that 24/7. But yeah, so I suppose it slowed down. Mm-hmm. You know, my activity on social media slowed down. But I don't think my brand has really changed at all. I just think, I mean, and what you said actually, being more aware of, I suppose, what you might put out there or how it might affect people. I think we all had to be a lot more careful about that this year. So maybe it's changed a little bit in that way. But yeah, I don't know. I was probably just less active.
Do you think more now about what you post? And I know with me personally, I feel like and not that there's an issue with it, but I do think a lot more. Not that we've ever not thought about things before. We've never been like that. So I think, you know, which is really good. But I now think a lot more before especially with like opinions and things like that. I've actually personally found that I don't share my opinion very much anymore because I just, people obviously are always going to disagree. But
I agree.
It's just,
I think that's a really good point. Like, opinion, absolutely. Like, I just
care about something. Yeah, it's really obviously, we're never going to be silent about like people wanting to be confident in their bodies. But course. I'm also maybe not going to comment on how I felt about Dan Andrews.
Exactly.
Because I don't need it. Yeah.
No, 100%. 100%. I agree. I think with everything that happened, like, there's so many world mm-hmm. events this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That really shook the world. And I just think that it was really important to be really mindful of what you were sharing. And I just think, you know, everyone, of course, is entitled to their own opinion. Mm. But unless, as you said, it's the one thing or, you know, the few things that you're super passionate about.
That you care about.
And that you really care about. Like, I don't always see the need to share my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly did affect me when I would read others' opinions online mm-hmm. that I didn't agree with.
Yes.
So I think when I did that, I was like, I just don't want to make anyone else ever feel like this because it's okay to disagree. It's okay if you liked Dan Andrews. Mm-hmm. It's okay if you didn't, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. We all have an opinion on mm-hmm. the matter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just don't necessarily think that sharing those things is always that helpful to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably, yeah, you're right. That's probably like one thing for sure. But when it comes to like just general content and stuff and like sharing kind of what I want and not really worrying about what people are going to think, obviously not opinion-based content, I've always kind of not really cared I really hate that people kind of make you feel, I don't know, to question yourself that much to the point where it's like, you know yourself and you know this is something that you like, you know this is something you want to share or that some people might want to see. You know it actually helps some people as well. So, like, if there's a small percentage of people who don't like it, like, they don't have to follow you. And I think that's the other thing is, like, I have actually lost quite a lot of following this year. And I only noticed it because I went from 1.6 to 1.5 and I was like, oh, okay. So that's when I started to notice it.
I mean, it's still a lot of people.
No, like, I know, you know. But, like, I think, I'm talking years ago, I really cared about that sort of thing. And now it's like, cool, these are people who just don't like what I'm putting out there. But I'm not going to change what I'm putting out there because it's me.
Yes.
So
it's awesome you're like that. I think it's so easy to get consumed by those things. But I think because it says a lot about your confidence in what you do and your self-worth in that your followers is not, you know, if that it's not your current, like that's not the only thing you care about. So it's like you're not going to dictate your life and what you do by that.
And I mean, I get, like I've got friends who are full-time influencers and you know things different. Like engagement and their following is honestly it is super important for them and I totally get why they would be upset. But I just think that for me personally, when I'm running like a personal brand and everything like that, it's just it doesn't affect me if someone doesn't like my content anymore and they just want to move on. I get it. I unfollow people too.
I love that. That is the tagline of 2020.
I unfollow everyone.
I get it. You don't have to follow me and I don't have to follow you. So now there was a lot of questions about this one particular topic, okay. Which is, was that a good drum roll?
Not really. It's like slapping.
Better? Now I'm punching myself. Your pregnancy. Shock horror.
Shock horror.
So since we spoke, it was your 12th week, wasn't it? Your first trimester was just 13
weeks. I think I just ticked over to 13 weeks, yeah.
So now you're well and truly in your... First, can you confirm how long does the trimester go for 12 weeks each time?
Well, to the end of the 12th week. So once you're 13 weeks, you're in the second trimester.
And then when you're 24?
I think so. It's just divide 40 by 3.
Okay, sure. 13 point
something.
Something. Okay, so you're in your second trimester.
Yes.
Since we last spoke, what's been going on?
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
How's it been?
Yep.
What's it like?
Yeah.
You had your 20-week scan.
I did.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Which is so exciting. Tell us about it.
Okay, so 20 weeks now. So officially what people say is halfway if you end up being about 40 weeks pregnant by the end. Some people go over, some people go under. So I could be over halfway. Never know. And I feel really good. I feel really energized, which a lot of people said the second trimester, especially towards the middle of your second trimester, is just the best time. And, you know, everyone just advises you to really enjoy it because, you know, towards the end it can get a bit heavy and uncomfortable. I think the most exciting change that I've had, other than getting my energy back and feeling a little bit more myself, is feeling movement. So it started a couple of weeks ago. I think I was... Yeah, it was like the start of my 18th week and I was doing a yoga flow and I was lying on my back at the end and I had my hands on my stomach and I felt this little like knock on my hand and I was like, I just kind of opened my eyes and looked at the ceiling like, is that what I think it was? And then I just tried to distract myself because I was like, oh, maybe it's too early. I don't know. I'll just ignore it. And then the later that day, I had a really self-care day this day. I got back into acupuncture and I was lying there on the table with my hands on my belly again. And it happened again. And I was like, oh, maybe it is. And then I spoke to my obstetrician because I had a catch up with her that week as well. And she was like, yeah, absolutely. You can start feeling it. I mean, people start feeling it even earlier, but it's more like flutters, like almost like butterflies in your tummy. This was like a little like poke almost. And then all of a sudden, like the next week, I started to feel it a little bit more. And then this week in particular, like I'm feeling him move so much. And he's just getting stronger and stronger. And, like, now, you know, if someone else puts a hand on my belly, they can feel it as well. And it's funny, he's kind of sticking to a schedule. Like, in the middle of the day, I'll be sitting there, like, on my desk, and he'll be moving around and, like, do the occasional kick. But it's after 9 p.m. He just, like, between 9 p.m. and 10:30, he just suddenly, like, wants to kick and, like, is very active. So it's very nice. It's the most magical feeling ever. And, again, I've continued to have a really blessed pregnancy with not feeling morning sickness or having any, I suppose, what's the word I'm looking for? Any...
Symptoms?
No. Complications.
Complications,
we're really lucky I haven't had any complications and, you know, every checkup we've had and every scan we've had, everything's looking great. So I'm very grateful for that and... It does make, I suppose, the journey a lot more enjoyable, I can only imagine. It's happening so quickly. Like, when we were having, I think, like, the 13-week scan, or even when we, you know, spoke on the podcast, I thought 20 weeks sounded, like, forever
away. Yes. Yeah.
So I can't believe it's here, and it's just, I'm feeling very, very, very excited to meet the little guy. And we had our scan, and from this point, so it's really interesting, from the 20-week scan, they used to do it at 18 weeks and they've changed it to 20 because at 20 weeks, they are pretty much completely developed. They just grow now. Okay. So, like, everything's developed.
So, it's got ears?
Yeah, everything. Oh. Everything. It's got everything. And, like, even hair and, like, eyelashes and, like, fingernails. Like, everything is there now and all its organs. But now it just gets bigger. So, when you look at, like, their face and stuff in the scan, it's, like... A lot of people say there's a lot of similarities to the newborn to their 20-week scan because really their facial features are there. They just need to grow. So it was really cool, like, seeing his little face. And he was so funny. The the guy doing the scan was like, I can't really get a good photo of him because he's so active. Like, he won't stop moving.
Oh, he's a
like,
true kick baby.
Yeah, he's a kick baby. But it was so fun. And it's just, it is. It's really, really, it's been really enjoyable. Really nice time.
And you don't have to, and I hope you don't ever feel bad for that, but, like, I feel like everyone's experience is their own and you can only speak from your experience. Yeah. And so, thank goodness you've had a healthy and safe.
And that's the thing is, like, I've spoken to some friends who, well, okay, not friends. I've spoken to some people who have been pregnant and have not had a great experience. And I almost feel super guilty talking about mine. Yeah, I always feel really guilty, though, because it has been so good. And then when I speak to friends who might not have had a great experience, they're like, oh, my God, no, like, absolutely enjoy that and embrace that. And, like, don't be afraid to, like, share that. Like, anyone that gets too upset with you, obviously there's a lot of jealousy in that.
Yes.
And it's not your fault. You don't have to pretend that you're
like,
struggling.
Went
or
into the lottery and you got, well, it almost is like
that, but it's just
but
luck,
you didn't
really
choose. No. Or you didn't, it's not, you had no idea it was going to happen. There's nothing you can do. It's just.
Yeah. And my mom said a similar thing. My mom had a really good pregnancy and then she also had really good birth stories as well. So she said that in her mother's group, not many people could relate to her. Which she found hard at times.
Yes.
Because she was kind of surrounded by people who didn't have a great experience. I think if you're anyone's out there and was like me and kind of feeling a bit guilty about sharing the positives and like feeling good about it, I don't think, maybe don't feel that way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And you're having a boy. We haven't discussed this on the podcast yet.
What?
That you're having a boy.
Oh, that we're having a boy.
You, you didn't know the gender when we did the last one.
Yeah.
Were you happy? Were you disappointed? Did you think it was going to be a boy? What did it feel like? Or you just didn't care as long as it was either pink or whatever. You didn't really mind as long as it was healthy.
I had literally no inkling and no, you know, mother's intuition or nothing. Like, there's all these people that was like, yeah, but what do you think it is? Or like, surely you've had a dream. And I literally have no idea what this baby is. But on the day of our kind of gender reveal, when we found out, you know, every friend that I spoke to and messaged and, you know, everyone was on team boy. Like, it was like 99% of people thought it was going to be a boy. And I was like, how is everyone so sure? And I have no idea. Like, aren't you supposed to know? Aren't you supposed to, like, have an inkling? But Josh kind of had a feeling it was a boy.
Yeah.
But we both thought that maybe, because we were just automatically calling it him from the get-go. But we both thought maybe that's just because Ari's a boy. And we're used to saying him and this is his. And so I just think we just said that and, like, didn't really think too much of it. So when it was a boy, it's like I wasn't really surprised, but I also didn't know. So it was cool to just know. And I think honestly, did not care either way. I would like to have two or three children, and I would like to possibly have both.
Three?
Maybe. I think we'll only
get two. That's amazing. Yeah. But Josh wants two.
Well, he grew up in a family of four, so
he wants two. Every time I speak to him, he's like, two.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, but Steph told me she wants 10.
Well, the next one might be twins, so we'll see. We might have to have three. But, I want two or three, and I just I didn't care, you know, obviously if I get three boys, like, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, that would be awesome if I, you know, maybe got a girl next or got a girl third. But again, I don't care either way. I think there's just a part of me, because I was growing up such a girly girl and I just, but also a sporty girly girl.
Yes.
I just kind of have always wanted a mini me, you know, in a way, but maybe my son will be a mini me. He'll just like all the things that I liked. And I'm just so excited. And I was excited either way. And the thing is it does make it a lot more real when you find out. And like, I totally understand why people don't as well.
Yes.
Like, I think it's,
I think I won't. I've actually been thinking about it a lot. And I think I want to find out.
Yeah. A lot of people do. And I totally,
but then I don't know because I haven't actually been pregnant. So I'm not sure.
Yeah. But a lot of people, and I get it, because there was even a moment where we both kind of were like, oh, maybe we don't want to find out. But I think for too long, I was like, no, I really want to find out.
Yeah,
I really just want to feel, I think because I had no intuition of what sex it was, and I feel like there was like this disconnect or something, and maybe it was because I wasn't having all of the different symptoms and everything like that. But there was days that I totally forgot that I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, it was just like, if I know what sex it is, we might even, like, decide on a name, or I don't know. I feel like I'll get to know it better and whatever. I think honestly that mindset's a little bit whatever, because you can get to know it and feel close to it, whatever the heck it's going to come out as. So it wasn't, I don't know, I just decided that I really wanted to know, and so did Josh, and maybe for the second one we won't, I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, it's, I'm very excited to meet him properly.
And now you know him.
Yeah.
Let's talk about names. A lot of people ask what the name is. Unfortunately, I'm not going to disclose that today. But we, the other question was, and I'm also not sure if you want to disclose this because I don't know if you've decided
yet. No, okay. So last night we were actually talking about names.
Yes.
We have not decided.
Okay.
We have about four.
So you can't give us your list?
No.
Because it will be one
can't.
Of them.
I can't give you my list. Sorry, guys. Going to have to. You know what, though? Our friend found this app. I can't remember the name of it. Maybe it's literally just called Baby Names or something.
Okay.
It's like Tinder, but for the baby names. Okay. So, like, you and your partner link on this app, and these random names pop up, and you swipe either yes or no.
Oh, my goodness.
And so then, like, the ones that you both liked come up on this list. And it's, yeah, it was, it, anyway, it was kind of helpful. But we didn't use that initially. We used that, to be honest, we thought we had the name, like if it was
you've
a boy.
You've kind of had it more, like compared to me, who has never thought about
it. Oh, no, I've had a baby list for like 10 years.
Dalton and I have spoken about it sometimes, but like then I forget. Like I literally right now have no idea what names I like. But you have had your list.
I've had my list, And
you've been with Josh for so long.
Yeah, and we had two names that we were very sure of.
But one girl, one boy, or
no, two boy names. Okay. Girls, we're struggling with girls. So actually, Subaru was. although I love a lot of the names I love are quite unisex. And like, you know, I love Charlie for a girl. I love Ashley for a boy. Like, you know, that sort of thing. Anyway, but we had two names that we were pretty set on for a boy. Mm-hmm. But then once we found out it was a boy, we were like, oh, like let's keep our options open and like start thinking of other things. Now the list is probably about, there's probably about four or five names on there now.
Okay.
And we really don't know. Like, we're getting further away from knowing the name, the further along we're getting with the pregnancy. And, I mean, a lot of people say that and, like, you know, we don't have to decide straight away.
Of course.
Name their baby 3 days after it's born.
That will be me. I'll be 2 weeks. She'll be like, Laura, you have to make a decision. But when you, I've heard also when you have the baby, then you're like, oh, it's a...
Yeah, so I've heard many different opinions on this.
Oh, some people are like, oh, you...
Yeah, because makes it harder. I think, you know, some people say, oh, yeah, because you want to see it and, like, make sure it suits it. But to be honest, like, whatever you call it, it's going to suit that.
Yes,
like,
very true.
It's going to just
very true.
Grow up to be that. But the other thing is I've heard that decision-making from a woman after labor is not always great.
Because of the hormones.
Yeah, and I think it's just, like, you're just... exhausted and tired and excited and overwhelmed. And I think it's actually quite common for people who don't kind of prep at least a few favorites or whatever to just kind of call them something random and then really regret it like a week later.
Well, lucky you've prepped. And you're not going to go rogue. Like,
no, I'm going to go rogue.
Like, you're not going to call it Pluto or
flower. Not,
if anyone is called that, fine.
Fine. But no,
that was another question. Yeah. Are you going for a very rogue name or a more traditional name?
I mean, most of our names are very traditional.
Yeah.
There is a few in there that are, I suppose, a bit more unique, but they're not like super unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people have definitely heard of them before.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I don't think that's very much. I mean, our names are Josh and Steph. Like, and then Miller and
Who
Smith.
Who has funny
like,
names?
You couldn't get more.
Like Kanye West kids and Kim's kids.
Yeah. Which, like, if I felt that cool, I'd probably call my kid that. You know what I mean? But I don't.
What's the other one? South? Is one called South?
King, no.
I know one's called North. Northy.
I honestly don't know. I know North. But there's just, like, I think, like, then that's fine. If people want to call them.
Yeah.
Even Gwyneth Apple?
Yes. I used to want to call I loved Gwyneth growing up, and I was like, I want to call my kid Apple. But
you know what I mean? Like, whatever at the end of the day, like, there's some weirder names than others and whatever, but, like, then they grow up with that name, and then that's just its name.
That's who they are.
That's who they are.
And they might want to change it. That's cool, too.
Yeah. So, like, I just... Yeah, I think, but it's funny, I said that so casually, and yet we are feeling so much pressure to, like, decide on a name. Like, we're like, oh my God, we're actually naming a human. And as you said, they can change their name.
Yes.
But, like, we're naming a human. Yeah. Like, oh my God, this is a big decision. Anyway, whatever. But we don't know, guys, so sorry. That was a very roundabout way of saying, sorry, I can't answer you because my list is still my list.
Fair enough. And you can keep private forever if you want. Another question was, are you going to vlog your birth?
No. I think we will want a photographer in there.
Will it be me? With the iPhone?
I don't know.
Who takes the best snaps of you?
You do.
Me.
Yeah. I don't think you want to be in there. No. They get a bit aggressive.
Aggressive? What are they going to be?
Me. Oh. Not you. Step. Push harder.
Pose for my photo.
No, I just like, I think, I've had friends who have, yeah, who have, kind of, because I want Josh to be completely
normal. Also, you're not a full-time vlogger.
No.
Yeah.
I was never going to vlog our birth. Yeah. But it's more, and I want Josh to feel really present and everything. I mean, my birth could take half an hour. It could take 38 hours. Yeah. Don't know. But I think I would like to have, particularly in the later stage, like when it's really all happening, I think I'd like to have some photos.
I think it's beautiful.
Because just to look back at, and I just think that whenever I see my friends' photos, it's like, it's such an emotional, beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. And I just would love to have that captured.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not I get a close friend, because I obviously would feel comfortable, mm-hmm. or I just get a complete stranger.
Yes.
Because that's their job. You know what I mean?
Like, because I can't really... I mean, the new iPhone is good in night mode, but if it's dark, we want to see you in the photo.
No, yeah. And I just, you know, maybe I'll just get, like, someone who's actually known for... that kind of baby photography.
I've seen a million different... I'm like, how did you become a baby
naked women and, like, babies.
Yes.
All that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I haven't decided yet. But I think that's what we're going to want to do.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
What else have we got here? this is a good question. How has being pregnant, or has it, or has it not, changed the dynamic in your relationship with Josh?
That's a good question. I mean, so far... To be honest, actually, mm-hmm. I think it's making us a little bit more aware of being team players. And I mm-hmm. think that's something that did start to switch on a little bit when we got married, mm-hmm. but kind of even more so now, which I'm obviously very happy about because I think it's really important to be team players,
100%.
Particularly once the baby comes. But yeah, I think we've just been both really more than ever mindful of each other mm-hmm. and our emotions and what we're going through. And he's just been super supportive, which has been great. And yeah, I don't know. It's a nice time. It's a mm-hmm. really exciting time. Like, even when we aren't in the best moods, you know, I'll like put his, like, I might feel a kick, or I'll put Josh's hand on my stomach, and then we just like can't help but smile.
Of course.
Like, it's just, it's very nice. I think I'm sure every couple's different, but I think a lot of people might feel that kind of weird sense of like, this is really special between us, and mm-hmm. like it's just a happy time for us right now. Yeah,
amazing. And last question before the quick fire round, which you wrote them last week.
I did,
didn't you?
Yeah,
because I'm just gonna give them to you.
I'm
gonna give it back to you.
Yeah,
but before that question, goals for 2021, have you set them? Do you have them? Is your goal to have a healthy baby?
Honestly,
which is an amazing goal, by the way.
I don't know. I haven't really, I mean, I have kind of thought about, you know, next year and everything like mm-hmm. that, but honestly, it, like, a big part of next year is going, other than earlier in the year where we've got like quite a bit of work to do, is going to be heavily pregnant or with a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really just making sure that I'm continuing managing my stress well, and like looking after myself, continuing to do that. And then when the baby comes, I'm just really keen to continue to learn mm-hmm. about myself mm-hmm. and obviously about that process. And I think that's like the coolest thing ever, is I've always really respected and admired a woman's body. But like in this time, it's like you just have this whole other level of like understanding mm-hmm. and appreciation, I think, for your body. So I hope that that can kind of continue even throughout, you know, post-baby and everything. And my goal is just to make sure that I stay in a really positive headspace throughout that process.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That is a very beautiful goal.
Thanks.
What a way to end the official questioning and start the quick round. So, quick fire round.
Yeah.
Number one,
mm-hmm.
what was your, should I say them fast? So, hey, what was your favourite TV?
Wow,
there's
okay.
no timer
We're
on,
not,
though.
Yeah.
Because on the radio, there's a timer on.
Yeah.
That's not us. What was your favorite show you binged during ISO?
That would be Vampire Diaries.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the new one you're into.
No. That all literally, if I could go back and like pretend I hadn't watched Vampire Diaries, I would do it again. Experiencing Vampire Diaries for the first time and being able to like binge watch all those seasons.
How many in lockdown? Seasons?
Oh, I can't remember. But
a lot, okay.
A lot.
How many episodes? Oh, a lot. Just a lot. Okay,
it
sure.
was a lot. Yeah. Like, it took a long time to get through it all, but I just loved it. Loved Amazing. It. And I wish I could, as I said, I wish I could pretend that I hadn't seen it and do it again.
But maybe. I've seen
it. I know what's going to happen.
Oh, you have a good memory. I have a horrible memory. I have a great 2 years or even a year and a half maybe. After, I can't remember what happened. So maybe that'll happen to you after you have your baby.
Who knows?
It's because you'll be so tired that you won't remember. Okay. Was there any new habits or interests you took up during ISO?
Walking to the coffee shop or just going for a walk first thing in the morning was something.
What? Did you not used to do that?
No. So I used to walk quite a lot, but before COVID... Oh, you'd
wake up and exercise.
I'd wake up and exercise.
Yeah, not always walk.
No, because before COVID, like, we were working in the office or, you know, I'd have a shoot or, like, you know, you'd be going somewhere that day. So, like, my priority first thing in the morning was to try and get a workout in. Not that I worked out every day, but, like, that was kind of the first thing
I did. You didn't have time to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, or you had to wake up at
exactly. And then I'd have traffic to somewhere. Yeah. But minus the traffic, I've really, I suppose... implemented a slow morning Love into that. My routine by walking first and kind of waking up that way and like doing that with Josh or just Ari, whoever wants to come with me. And then, you know, when I come back home, if I feel energized, particularly in this period of being pregnant, then I'll do my workout because I'm not stuck in traffic every morning. So
love it.
That's something that I've really thoroughly enjoyed. And I think obviously when we go back, if we go back to normality and like, you know, back to office life and all that sort of stuff, whenever that happens, I'll probably just wake up that little bit earlier so I can still do that because I've really enjoyed that being the first thing
except if you've been up already 8 times during the night.
Maybe not.
Year of 2022.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. What did you miss the most in lockdown?
My friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, as I said, I feel really grateful to travel. I do still love a music festival, but I didn't necessarily miss either of those things. Yes. Like, I really missed my friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was the first place you wanted to go when everything opened back up?
The Murray River, up the farm. I was just, couldn't wait. Like, so, it was so hard when the restrictions were even, like, you can't go regional Victoria and we didn't know when that was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
All we wanted to do was just live up there that time, I think, and got up there as soon as we could. And it was so, so nice to be back there. And I'm just so excited to spend time there this summer.
Love that. Last question. Did you purchase any ISO treats online? A bit of retail therapy at all? If so, what was your favorite thing you bought?
Oh,
I just read that word for word from your question.
I know, I was going to say. I did a lot of retail therapy in COVID. I really like retail therapy, I've learned this year, but maybe it was just because I didn't really have much else to do and not much else to spend money on, to be honest. But I did, it was funny, earlier in the year, in like March when we first went into lockdown, I bought like this new leather jacket and this new coat. And it's funny, when I spend time, I always use the word funny and it's really not funny, I'm sorry. When I spend money on something, whether it's designer or it's a bit more expensive than, you know, your average thing, I usually only do that if I know I'm going to wear
staple.
It. Like, yeah, it's a staple.
Yes.
Like a leather jacket's a staple, like a black coat's a staple, like a nice pair of boots is a staple.
Yeah.
All those kind of things. Anyway, so I did that and I was very excited. But then we were in lockdown for the whole of winter. So I haven't got, I think I wore my leather jacket twice.
Yes.
Other than that, I have not got to wear those items. So, yeah.
Are you excited to wear them?
I'm very excited to wear them. I'm very excited to wear them. But that were probably like my favourites because I feel like I'm just going to love them for years to come.
And they'll look good when you are a trendy mum.
Well, hopefully.
Well, I believe that's all we have time for.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. That's it. No, you're now a host again.
Yeah. Well,
switch.
Thank you so much, guys. We've thoroughly enjoyed doing the podcast again this season. We always do. And we will be back. We're not gone forever. We're just having a bit of a break.
The same as every year. No, there's only been 2 years of this. Yeah. No, 1 or 2 years of this podcast. But we'll come back early next year.
Yeah.
And we are going to change the structure a little bit. But always, as always, we would love to hear any feedback that you have or ideas or things that you love or you don't love so much. Totally fine too, as long as you please say it a little bit nicely. And thank you so much for listening this year. And of course, as always, if you want to find any more about Keep It Cleaner or if you want to, I don't know, start your year next year with us and maybe a little bit more healthy if you need to, of course, or if you want to, you can sign up on the website at www.keepitcleaner.com.au, also on the app, which you can find in the App Store on Google and on Apple.
And you can find us on social media. The lovely guest today, Seth Smith on Instagram, Laura.Angel, or Keep It Cleaner. Thank you for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.